Hey party people, it is September the 8th, 2021, and this is episode 29. It is 10:37 a.m. in the morning, and I am still in bed. Why am I still in bed in the dark? Because rejuvenation is important, and the first day of school is coming. I have a couple of days off before that happens, and I am taking advantage of one of them by letting things happen around me instead of being a part of what's happening. I thought about that this morning, and it's important. And I'm kind of thankful that, actually, I'm wholly thankful, not even kind of. I'm wholly thankful that I can have this day, and I'm sending energy to those who don't get to have this day. The consideration that I have for those who have convinced themselves that they gotta do. So I'm sending you energy. I'm sending you energy, and I'm sending you love, and I'm sending you serenity. So this morning, earlier this morning, I had a moment of memory that came out of me being in the museum the other day with all of those sarcophaguses, all of those caskets, and learning that the kings were often given elements of memory from those who served them. So basically, like I was saying, like King Tut, inside his tomb were found a host of things, from jewelry to smaller deities to help him transition from the physical world into the spiritual world. I don't want to say pots and pans, but like ceramics. All of those kind of things were put in his sarcophagus with him. And to an extent, some of the stuff was actually wrapped, like in his bandaging. In his mummification, those elements were laying in either right near his skin or within the bandaging. That's what I read, you know. So that brought me to a memory that I had when my grandfather Brady died. And I distinctly remember during his either the wake or the funeral, but I want to say it was the funeral, where my mother walked up to his casket and she placed inside his suit jacket two things: some rolling papers and a tobacco can of Prince Albert. My grandfather smoked Prince Albert in a can. I don't know if I've ever told any of y'all that, but if you ever went into my office, I had a pencil holder that was a Prince Albert in a can, and that's where that memory comes from. It was distinct ancestral, and I never thought about that. I used to hear stories about how, okay, another one is my cousin Kendall Robertson. She talked about her grandmother Cheney's burial and how she had, I think they buried her in fur, like a fur stole. I'm not really sure, but I feel like I remember that. But Cheney was a fashion goddess. Like, she never went anywhere and didn't look like royalty. So she was buried like royalty. That's ancestral for us, for Black people. We want to put our ancestors in the best possible. We want them to have the best burial possible. That's ancestral. And that dawned on me yesterday as I stood around these elaborately decorated sarcophaguses and reading these stories and seeing the objects that were placed in these sarcophaguses with the mummies. with the dead. Why am I having this moment of a podcast with you? Because I want y'all to know that a lot of things that we do comes out of our ancestry prior to colonization. The DNA that we all carry with us is active. It's activated. You don't have to go visit a gravesite to have a conversation with your ancestor. If there's something that they liked, if there's music that they liked, if there's cigarettes that they smoked, if there's a rum that they drank, if their favorite drink was rum and coke, then sit in the silence of your home and have a rum and coke and remember, and those voices will begin to speak. Some of us have more elaborate constructs in our homes in the way of altars. You can create an altar. Now, for some of you, you may be like, the memory hurts too bad. Then you need to reflect upon why you depended upon the physical so much instead of the spiritual. Right? Why do you depend upon the physical more than you depend upon the spiritual? So that's what's happening to me right now, is I'm realizing that my memory has been activated. Now, I am clear. I will say that I haven't had a drink since the last drink I had. Oh, no, never mind. I had a drink. I went over to Amanda's name and I had a drink. But I'm more clear than I have been in years. And my dreams have come back in full. And instead of sharing them out, I'm just writing them down. It's a lot of things happening that I'm getting back to move forward to. And it feels good. But the memory of my mother placing that Prince Albert in a can inside my grandfather's suit pocket is right. It's like frontal lobe memory. I remember being, you know, when my grandmother, Big Mama, was in the process of transitioning from life to death, we were very, or at least I was, I don't know about my other cousins, but I had will to go see her, and I had will to go sit with her. And one of those times, after she stopped speaking, I went and I lotioned her feet and I lotioned her hands. And I remember asking her, did that feel good? And she nodded her head at me in the yes. And it was like a child because she couldn't speak. And wanting to take care of her in that transition was strong for me. It was very strong for me. The memory of my brother discovering my grandfather, Adolphus, is a very strong memory for me, even though it wasn't my experience. The memory of my mother telling me the story of being bit by a black widow spider and my grandmother Bertha placing me up against a tree and doing what she does as a spiritual being, and me being okay after that, is a very strong memory for me. There's not a lot of pain in my childhood memories. There's not a lot of loss in my interpretation of my childhood memories. And being in Egypt, being in that museum the other day, not only struck it. Listen, I'm in this bed, and I'm gonna honestly say this. I'm in this bed because it took a lot out of me. It zapped me in a way that I wasn't expecting to be zapped. But the zap was a connection. A real, true, you are home. You are in one of your homes. Now, I will say that about Kamika Spencer. I have many homes. And I have arrived in one of them on the very first time that I've left the country. the very first time that I've officially left the country. Now, when I was about 11, my family did a journey. My Aunt Eva, who is my grandmother's Bertha's sister, my Uncle Howard, my cousin Shedrick, Shelby, Roland, Troy, me, and I want to say Tiffany and Tanisha were with us, but I don't remember. They had to have been with us because I couldn't have been the only girl child on that trip. I will find out if I was the only girl child on that trip. But we packed up in my Uncle Howard's van. He cleared out the back of that van so that we could have living space. And we drove from Texas to Canada to be at a family reunion. That's ancestral. And it's important that I'm telling y'all this. And it's important I'm telling y'all this because you have to start sharing your stories. I don't think I would be doing this if I were not in the place that I am. There's something real. And anybody who's ever been to Africa will tell you that there's an energy here in this colonized place that when you bring your DNA over here, something happens. And it may not be major. It could be something as minute as a dream. But something happens when we reconnect our bodies with the land. Because in between our bodies and the land is the DNA. That's all I can tell y'all right now. That's all I can tell y'all from this bed laying in this darkness at 10 o'clock in the morning. It might be 11 at this point. If you hear my voice shaking, it's because I'm a little emotional, but I got it. It's not even under control. It's just, I'm finally able to kind of breathe in connecting y'all with this year that I'm having. And before I go into the classroom to teach, there's transformation happening. That's really, worth celebrating. So back to this, the first thing I ever really wrote that I kind of still have, I wrote two wills in my lifetime. I wrote one when I was 9 and I wrote one when I was about 13. My daddy has one of them. The other one I wrote when I was in the country down at Big Mama Bertha's. And so I've always been kind of connected with a fascination for funerals and cemeteries and death. I always have been. But because we've been colonized and we've been taught that death is bad and death is black, we mourn. Not like they do in Louisiana. Louisiana, they party. And that's what I want. That's what I'm after. Is to be able to celebrate homegoing. And to be able to understand that this earthly place is the temporary space, right? It's the temporary space. And let me personalize this. I am in a moment now of realizing how minute the physical plane is. It's so minute, y'all. It's so minute. And I've never really held on to it because I'm a transformer. I've just my journey. When I look back on my life, when I got bored, I transformed. When I got scared, I transformed. When I got inspired, I transformed. That's just what I do. That's just who I am. And I've spent a lot of time trying to make my transformations make sense in the physical realm. And that is not who I am. Now, if you're close to me, so I'll say a January forward, I will say Demetria Cobb McDonald. And even as of late, I'll say a Kendall Robertson in terms of my personal space. Even Nisha. I'll include Nisha in there because these are people who have, Marcus Mercy, who have spent time with me in this mental space that I'm in right now, who've shared and listened to me talk about this space of being. We have, and when I say we, I mean the DNA that I carry. You know, about 2 o'clock this morning, I went to bed at 7:30 yesterday. So I woke up around 2, and the first ancestor that came to me was Cynthia Petrie. Now, if you don't know Cynthia Petrie, I'm going to tell you who Cynthia Petrie was. A, she was a cancer survivor. But on top of that, she was a cancer survivor who began to do healing in her home off of Keast. She had a beautiful home, and in the back of her home, she had built a healing space where she did colonics. And in my late 20s, early 30s, I used to go over to Cynthia Petrie's, me and friends of mine, and we would get colonics. And it was part of the beginning of my healing process. Well, Cynthia Petrie started getting heat. She started getting heat from the medical professionals and ended up having to shut down. And it saddened her to a point where her cancer came back and eventually took her life. So the creation of healing spaces, Cynthia Petrie coming back into my memory is a part of this process of my healing. And I'm not sure if this would have happened had I not come back to one of my homes. Now, Kamika Spencer, are you saying America is not your home? I'm visiting America. I'm visiting. I was born in the place that I've been visiting all my life. That's the best way I can explain it to y'all. I am not denying America, because that's where my family is. That's what I understand. That's why I cuss the way I do. That's why I eat the way I do. That's why I sleep the way I do. That's why I've learned the way I've learned. But I'm wholly blessed. I am wholly, wholly blessed that I have had teachers in my life before I had teachers who weren't in my life. I was born into the culture of blackness, of being black, of understanding that I am protected by black. In the neighborhood that I grew up in, we had it all. We had Crazy Gary who walked around in black. He was a Vietnam vet. And one day he tried to actually walk into our house. We had, you know, I remember one time me and Damon Bell, we were the smallest kids on our block. And one day a man drove up talking about he was looking for his dog, a black man, an old elderly black man talking about he was looking for his dog. And would we get in the car with him and help him find his dog? So in our visitation to America, we have to deal with the deficits within our people. And have to figure out how to take care of our people without turning them over to the evil devil. Okay, so all this to say, the reason why I implore you to visit Africa, and I don't care where you go, is simply to reconnect. Reconnect yourself with something before your slavery. Now, are you reconnecting with colonization? Maybe. But your DNA connects to the land. You got to connect your DNA to the land. And you can move on with your Christianity. You can move on with your Yoruba. You can move on with your Santeria. You can move on with all of whatever you believe in the ritual way that you believe it. I am not here to judge that. And I'm not here to be judged on that. So I wake up with this memory of my mother putting this Prince Albert in a can. I wake up this memory of my brother finding my grandfather. I wake up with this memory of being called to my grandmother Louise's bedside when I had only will to see her. I got to see her one time. And that may have been her decision of not wanting to be seen in that condition. Ooh, these words are powerful. Not wanting to be seen in that condition. But my grandmother Bertha, I was able to see when I wanted, at will, at will, at will. And I got to say goodbye. I remember my grandfather Brady. I remember him being in hospital beds and my family refusing to let him die in a hospital. So at one point he was at my Aunt Robbie's house in a hospital bed. At one point he was at our house on Morning View in a hospital bed. I remember my mother and her brothers working that out. Now, whether they got along with it or not as a child, I never saw that, but I did get to see my grandfather. I got to see a part of his transition process. And I think that is important for children. Most of y'all will not agree, but the closest thing to life and death is the children and the elderly. That is why in America, they don't take care of them. That is why in America, the attitude, because it disconnects you. Your DNA is above and below. So I'm thankful. I'm very, very thankful for the experiences that I've had with memory and my ancestral grandfather, Brady Gray, whose name I'm calling right now, my ancestral grandmother, Bertha Johnson Gray, whose name I'm calling right now, my ancestral grandmother, Louise Freeney Lemons, whose name I'm calling right now, and my ancestral grandfather, Adolphus Spencer, whose name I'm calling right now. They're with me. Cynthia Petrie is with me. Eric Jerome Dickey is with me. Christina Nolan is with me. I have memory. You have memory. And it's bigger and more powerful than you think. Memory is more powerful than you, T-H-I-N-K. So you got to protect your mind. And you got to learn how to put good things in your body. And you got to learn how to celebrate quietly. Unless you're escorting someone from the physical realm into the spiritual realm, because that's where you should get loud. Because that is the only place where many of us have the protection we need from the evil. And I'm learning. I'm growing. I'm becoming. I want to say to my brother Roland, you were right. We had a moment where in one of my podcasts, I talked about the naming thing and how here, you know, names, every name has a meaning, and how my mom struggled. She didn't struggle, but I say struggle because my mother was very intentional about naming us, but we were never given meaning to those names. So for instance, I told y'all my mother liked the word Mika, and my father's name was Calvin, so she named me Kamika. But there was no meaning attached other than daughter of Calvin and part of, you know, my mother liking Mika. But there's something ancestral to my mother's attraction to the word Mika, because Mika is Asiatic in origin. So Virginia's going to have to get on that journey. But my brother was right in saying that we do come from kings and queens, and even our names are well thought out. So my brother's name is Troy. It's Greek in origins, but it's also the origins of Greek come from African civilization. They overthrew areas of Africa and took the culture and repurposed it. So my brother being in the army and being able to go to be stationed in Africa, in Egypt, was no mistake. It was not a coincidence. The fact that I have postcards from my brother being in Egypt is not a coincidence. So I'm very thankful. Be good. Be good. Be good. Be God. Peace, y'all.